Father, we thank you this evening for another opportunity to gather around your word. Thank you for the supply of your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us in an unusual way tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for as your word goes forth, hearts are strengthened and encouraged. Wrong mindsets are corrected, erroneous beliefs are straightened, gaps in knowledge are filled, barriers in the mind are removed, and a highway is created for the manifestation of your grace, your glory, and your power in every man's direction. Let the questions in our hearts, thank you, for they will find answers in these words as they come, and as your spirit confirms them with signs, wonders, miracles, and various distributions of the spirit. Let your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' name, we have given thanks. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a great privilege one more time to be here ministering God's word to us. I want to say a very big thank you to everyone and the set man and the leadership of the ministry. Amen. And I know that God will do us good again tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we've been considering the secret place, and we have been looking at the things that happen when we get to the secret place. I want to just quickly wrap up on what we started last night, and then we'll get into, just go a step further again tonight, and then we finish up tomorrow morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to read Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49. I want to read verses 1 and 2. It says, "Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft in his quiver. He has hidden me. He said to me, 'You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified.'" Hallelujah. So we started looking at it yesterday and said that secret place is the place where men are made. Hallelujah. It is the place where the rough edges are smoothened. It's the real place where we are broken. We are molded. We are remolded into another vessel that is fit to bring glory and praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, one important thing to note when it comes to these truths as they are coming is what the Bible says in John chapter 13 and verse 17. It says, "Now that you know these truths, blessed are you if you do them." When truths come to us, let's say you are having your time with God, you are studying, or you're listening to a message, and a light comes to you. The best way to maximize it is to immediately organize your life around that truth. In other words, make all necessary adjustments to accommodate that truth so that it can become a part of what we do. Amen. That John 13, 17, if you check different translations, it says, "Now that you know these things, you will be empowered as you begin to put them into practice." In other words, in the course of doing these things, the spirit of that thing rests upon you, and now you are able to do it with ease. You know, you can pray, starting off with your energy, but you can pray under the influence of the spirit of grace and supplication. That is the spirit that makes prayer easy. When the spirit of grace and supplication is in effect, you are, as it were, no longer using your energy to pray. Prayer becomes easy. Now, we come to the place of coming under the influence of these truths when we begin to organize our lives around them and practice them. Hallelujah. So now, as we hear these things, as God is, because from what is being said, God will be speaking to you personally. The psalmist said, "Once has the Lord spoken, twice have I heard," that power belongs to God. So sometimes the preacher is speaking once, but you are hearing it twice. You are not just hearing what he's saying. God is taking what he's saying to say something particularly to you. and to make it relevant to you within the context of your own situation. You are hearing it beyond what is being said. And as we organize our lives around the truth, the Lord empowers us to make the most of this thing. So yesterday we said that in the secret place is the place where men are made, molded, broken. The secret place is the place where we run to for help in time of need and in time of crisis. The secret place is the place where we are empowered to live a victorious life. The secret place is the place where we are empowered. When you are empowered, it means that when you go to the secret place, you come out with something you did not go there with. Amen. It means that what you did not go there with, something has been added onto you by the time you are stepping out. Now, I say stepping out because you don't step out of it in that sense, but there's a physical representation where that exchange, that relationship, that activity, those habits are expressed. It's the place where men are empowered to live a victorious life. 1 John chapter 4, 5 and verse 4 says, now everyone that is, whatever is born of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Whatever is born of God, not whoever, whatever. That means it goes beyond just individual. A system can be, an organization can be born of God. A marriage can be born of God. A business can be born of God. So anything that has its origin in God overcomes the world. The word used for world there is cosmos, which is the arrangement, the logical arrangement of things. The logic, for example, the logical arrangement of things is, okay, when I go to when I finish from secondary school, let's say you finish from at age 16, you have organized your life. That when I finish age 16, I'll get into the university, 4 years, 20, I'm done, go for service, 21. That's organization. That's harmonious arrangement of things. 20, I'm done. I'll go for master's, 2 years, I'm done, 22. I'll get married. Okay, after master's, then you want to work. For a while, say I work for 3 years, by 25, then I'll get married by 25. That's harmonious arrangement. So let's assume, so somebody has that kind of an arrangement. So he goes to he finishes secondary school age 16, gets into the university, and then 2 years into the program, ASU goes on strike for 1 year. You know that arrangement has already been scattered. So by the time after 1 year, ASU calls off the strike, so he's already age 20, you know, then by the time he gets to final year, not ASU now, SANU, now goes on strike. Then the whole thing is altered. Look at what happened last day. For a whole year, everybody was compelled to a different lifestyle. The logical arrangement of things. There's a way the world has prepared it, planned it. But it says faith. By faith, whatever is born of God will overcome that logical arrangement. So which means that if you want to go naturally by that arrangement, it can no longer work again. Because let's say that 25 that you want to get married, that is when you are even just finishing service. But do you know by faith, is it possible? Faith knows how to collapse time, how to move things, rearrange things that ensures that what ordinarily should have stopped you will not uplift you. The secret place is a place where men are empowered to live a victorious life. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world and the system of the world. It's not subject to it. Jesus said, praying for the disciples when he was about to leave in John 17, he says, Lord, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world. but I'm asking that you keep them. It says they are not of the world, but they are in the world. So keep them. One translation says, keep them from evil. One translation says, guide their heart from evil. Guide their heart away from evil. So you can be in the world and not be of the world. You can be within a system and not experience what everybody else, every other person goes through within that system. It is possible. In the Old Testament in Egypt, God showed them that he can bring about a demarcation between those that serve him and those that serve him not, those that are his and those that are not. In the midst of Egypt, there was a Goshen. There was a time there was darkness in all the land, thick darkness that they could not even move. That they were, the Bible says they were even afraid to make movement. They were so scared. They were on the same spot, in their various houses. Yet, in Goshen, there was light. So you can be in the world and not have the same experience as every other person. It is not by luck. It is not by chance. It is by faith. And it is possible. That's why it says, do not call a conspiracy what they call a conspiracy. Don't fear their fear. It is not by bragging. See, sometimes when we say, it is well with me in Jesus' name, my case is different. And you are saying, making those statements, it must be based on very concrete evidence that you have. Not just positive confession. You know, Nigeria, we are very good when it comes to that one. You get into the banking hall. You're on the queue. So, sorry, are you the last man? I'm not the last in the name of Jesus. I can't be the last man. So I can't be the last man. I'm not the last man. I mean, are you the last person? I'm not the last person in the name of Jesus. I can't be the last person. You enter the elevator. Are you going down? I can't go down. I can't go down in the name of Jesus. Now, those are positive confession. Those are positive confession. It does not mean that the person knows what it takes for not to go down. You know, we even say another one, we say, why were you not around yesterday? I was very strong. Now, I'm touching you now, Abi. And say, I'm very strong. And we think you say it as faith. Oh, I'm very rich. But what you mean, you know what you mean by saying you are very rich. Let me tell you the truth. When you are in the midst of believers, there is no posing. You say it as it is. It is where you put the full stop. The way I am now, I'm not feeling well. But by stripes, I know I am healed. Faith is not denial. Saying you are strong when you are not feeling fine, you are trying to deny. Faith is not denial. Faith is, in spite of what is happening, you ignore and you superimpose a greater reality on what you are presently seeing. Oh, you remember that story, 2 Kings chapter 6? Elisha's servant came out at 9 in the morning and he saw that they had sent an army to come and arrest them. He cried, shouted. He saw something that terrified him. But when Elisha came out, Elisha saw something else that he didn't see. So when Elisha said, no, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then he prayed. He said, Lord, open his eyes. When the Lord opened his eyes, then he saw an army of angels with chariots. It means that there was something Elisha was seeing that his servant was not seeing. So Elisha did not deny the fact that they had come to arrest him. But he superimposed what he was seeing on what he was physically seeing with his eyes. Why would you not look at the things that can be seen, but at the things that cannot be seen?
They cannot be seen, yet we are looking at it. That sounds like a contradiction. If they cannot be seen, how are we looking at them? It means that while we look not at the things that can be physically seen, but we look at the things that we can see with the eyes of our spirit. For the things that we can physically see are temporary. They are subject to change. And the things that we do not see are eternal. That is what faith really is. Which means that by faith, you see something from God's word that assures you that what you are hoping for has been done. Amen. You can say I'm strong to an unbeliever, but in the midst of believers, you say it because, you know, Jesus got with the disciples in John chapter 13, and the Bible says he showed them, he opened himself up to them, he washed their feet, and he says, see, I'm your master, I'm doing all of this. He has not eaten anything from them. When he was full of sorrow, he told them, he said, now my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. You know, it's like you're somebody you have highly esteemed coming to you and saying that, you say, the way I am now, I'm just feeling depressed. You know, you will first shake. We thought that you are a spirit, that you don't feel sad at all. But whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Is not subject to this world. Is not held down by the limitations in the world. Life is spiritual. Life is, in life, nothing just happens. Amen. Nothing just happens in life. Things are made to happen. And it is by faith that you create your world. Is a great privilege that God has given unto us. Hebrews 11 from verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, by it the elders obtained a good report, a good testimony. By faith, verse 3, the worlds were framed by the word of God. The worlds, that word is eons, the seasons, dispensations, ages. So the season of your life can be framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So which means that the things that we see, what actually creates them, they are created from the realm of the unseen. So there is one realm that is more real than the one that we are familiar with. It's the realm of the spirit. And it is from that realm that the things that we see in the physical are created. Listen to this. God gave you the privilege to create your own season by faith. This faith is expressed through the words that you speak. Amen. If you do not utilize this and create the seasons of your life by faith, you will become a victim of somebody else's creation. Somebody else will create a season that you'll be forced to be a part of. Amen. Someone else will create a season that you'll be compelled to be a part of. You partake of what that person has created. By faith, you can create a new season. The secret place is where we are empowered to be able to do these things. Mark chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus was choosing the disciples, the Bible says, he chose 12 that they might be with him. Let's look at it. Mark 3. I want to quickly finish this point and move on. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Then he went up on the mountain and called to himself, those he himself wanted. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him. Somebody say, be with him. We talk about that shortly in a while. And that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Is the latter part I want you to focus on for the sake of this point. He chose 12 that the 12 might be with him. And when they are with him, That is when he can now send them out to go and preach. Because they are with him, that is when they will have power to go and heal the sick and to cast out the demons. It is when they are with him. It is from that place of being with him that they are empowered to go heal sicknesses and diseases. They are empowered to go cast out devils. The secret place is the place where men are empowered to live a victorious... You know when you say a victorious life, it means that you things come at you, you face things, but you triumph. Challenges come, but you win. That's victory. I mean, you don't talk about victory without a fight. It means that there were things that come at you, but you came out on top. It is in the secret place that you are empowered like that. Hallelujah. Sometimes people are become victims of the system. I mean, the world system, that they experience a delay. Either at war or at whatever. And it is the system. It is in the realm of the spirit. It is in the secret place that you can make power available that can alter things and rearrange things. The Bible says in Psalm 66 and verse 12, it says that we have gone through fire, we have gone through water. Men have ridden upon our heads, but you have brought us out to a wealthy place. You have brought us out to a wealthy place. I remember a particular period. After my wife had been working for some time, then she was awaiting promotion, no promotion. Everywhere was just silent. One day she called me, I was in church. She said, they have done promotion again. My name is not there. Then of course, when you start experiencing those kind of things, then you start losing steam, start losing enthusiasm. So she was considering, maybe I should leave, maybe she should consider some other place. In my spirit, I checked, I saw that, no, you are not to leave. Because believers, we don't make decisions just based on the physical. See, one wrong step can affect the next 20 years. Just one. Hiring one wrong staff, not two, one. One. It was only one Jonah in that boat. They were forced to throw their things into the sea. Just one Jonah in your boat can bring about the wreck of the whole business. Just not two, one. Believers, we don't make choices by walking by sight. Believers, we don't make choices like that. You don't choose who to marry just by tall, dark, and handsome. It's more than that. Somebody say it's more than that. We don't make choices just based on, oh, the money is higher here. It's higher. You go for the higher one. I mean, you don't you need money? We don't make choices like that. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they had us. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And she said she wanted to leave. I checked my spirit. I kept hearing, no. I told her, I don't believe God wants you to leave. One day they did promotion again. And of course, promotion maybe like every 2 years or 3 years. They did it. Her name was not there. She was angry. She was upset. I got home. I went on my knees. I asked God. God said, that's where she should be. One day I was in the office. I was just having my time in the office. You know, there are times that God just interrupts your thoughts. God just interrupts. Words just came from my spirit that she will go through storms. She will go through seasons. But she has a future in that place. I picked my phone. I typed it. I sent it to her. God said, you have a future in the place. Stay. Now, but you see, that one was still just word. We had not made power available. A time now came. God laid it on my heart that in church, I just sat down and I was asking God that, you know, many things are not emergencies in life. Many things are not emergencies. If we live a prepared life, many things are not emergencies. It's because we don't prepare, do what we should do when we are supposed to do it, that it seems as though things now suddenly become emergencies. So I asked and I said, God, how can we prevent people just coming into situations that will require hours and hours of prayer? God said, tell people to start building their spiritual muscles. Then we now dedicated the first 3 days of every month. We just fast. We don't necessarily come to church, because when I looked at it, no matter how it is, one day out of those 3 days will be a church day. No matter how. It's either is a Sunday or a Thursday or a Tuesday when the intercessory unit meets. So we don't come together to pray in those 3 days. Then I said, we'll start having first 3 days of the month to pray. When I got that, I told Setman, this is what I believe God laid on my heart. He said, oh, that is good. That as at that period, that they were, he just also told us here that everybody should be taking at least one day in a week to fast, that it was timely. So we started doing it. So one of those days, the very first day, so the way we did it, first day, we just take time to pray for ourselves. Second day, we pray for the church. Third day, we pray for the nation. That's how we use those 3 days. So this first day was a public holiday. It was May Day. Then we're praying at home. And then we're praying about the job. As we're praying, we prayed to a point. Then my eyes opened. Then I saw that the door opened. I knew that something was happening. What we started seeing afterwards, she was not doing any extra work. Nomination here for the word. Nomination here. Nomination here. Nomination here. Where were the people that were nominating before? She didn't do anything extra. Life is spiritual. It is in the secret place that you are empowered to rise above the limitations that every other person is subject to. Nomination, nomination, nomination here. I said, okay, that is the stirring of the water. Is the award itself, what's it called? The promotion itself that we are waiting for. A month or so later, then the promotion came. One of those days, sometime last day, one day she came back from work and I saw her alone, just dancing in the room. I knew it was a prophetic dance. I knew it was, you know, it was just me and just dancing and dancing. I saw her, then I went back. So sent me a she just told me one up from the office, I've been promoted. Then you know, saying that actually that day I was dancing. I was telling God that this is my promotion dance. It doesn't just happen. It won't come because you are a good girl. The Bible says that Ecclesiastes chapter 9, the race is not to the swift. You won't necessarily win because you are fast. The battle is not to the strong. Bread is not to men of understanding. Favor is not to men of skill. He said, but time and chance happen to them all. What determines time and chance in your favor is when you get into the secret place and you rearrange things. Things will align. The line will fall for you in pleasant places when you get into the secret place. Amen. The lines will fall for you in pleasant places when you get into the secret place. People respond to things that they don't even know what they are responding to. It's a force. It's a pull. Things don't just happen. I mean, we were still talking last night with Brahemi, talking about some eatery that you see crowd. I said, it doesn't just happen. It's not just because they cook good food. No. It is either spiritual, that is good spiritual or negative spiritual. Is that a praying person? Or a spiritual, you understand, on the other side. You are buying things that you don't know why you are going there. You left shop 1, shop 2, shop 3, shop 4. They are selling that same thing, though. You went to shop 6. Why did you leave 4, 6 shops? They said, no. I don't know, but... You thought it was a parking space. It's not parking space. They called you. You responded. They called you and you answered. You to call them.
That business, don't just, you have arranged it. That is the physical. Where is the spiritual that is undergirding it? Where's the spiritual that is undergirding it? Anything that is born of the spirit overcomes the world. That is where you organize it from. That's where you organize it from. Marriage is undergoing pressure. It is not argument that does it. There's a place for talking. One day I was praying in the house. Suddenly, I saw an image of a man and a woman, and I saw their backs turned. They just backed themselves like this. Ah. One day I was speaking with a couple. We spoke for 8 hours. Not on phone, no. Physical, face to face. 8 hours. Talking, shouting. Tempers flying. One party, the other person crying. After a while, the thing will switch. The person crying will be the one shouting. The person shouting will be the one crying. 8 hours. Because you don't settle it by argument. Get into the place of prayer. Get empowered. When you come out from the place, the words of your mouth will become weighty. Because sometimes what you are dealing with is not just psychological, it's not just emotion, it's not just temperament. Sometimes there is a devil sitting on it, and it is a battle for the soul of your home. One day, a man of God, I know the person, he and his wife, they were going to a town. Now, they needed to check into an hotel. As they stepped into the hotel, they felt that there was something not right about this hotel. But they entered anyway, and they slept. At night, the wife was sitting down on the chair. She had not slept. The husband had slept. Suddenly, the wife saw an old woman walk through the wall and grinned at them and walked out. When they got up and they wanted to continue their journey, they just started discussing something in the car. He said, before you know it, hot argument. This man is a gentleman. I mean, a very calm man to the core. He says, even he himself, he did not know what was happening. He said they were hugging, he was driving and hugging, that he was banging the steering. Then later he caught himself that, no, this is not normal. Then he parked the car by the side of the road. Then he got out and he entered the bush. Makadobo santeriande. Ekatapale breket. He left the wife then the cow. Azate perian kalabosa. Efrakatapa. E makatobo siande. Ratoma hangeria satalia. E malahita labosa. You, this demonic spirit, desist in your operation. Cease in your maneuvering. And he took authority over it and he entered into the car and they continued the journey. Listen, they started the same discussion again and they were laughing. For the same discussion, before you say it's just temperament, you don't know you are already dealing with the devil. It is in the secret place that we are empowered to rise above this limitation. Man, by our own senses, we are limited. There are many things that we cannot do. There are many things that you don't know. Life is spiritual. That we are seeing physically, somebody is pulling the string somewhere. And the reason why things have not degenerated beyond the way it is because some people are praying. In the nation, it's because some people are praying. You have seen it as a trend that's happened to your auntie, happened to your father, happened to this, happened. Even you're already expecting it. Don't just watch it. Rise up. Rise up. Get into the secret place. Let God open up unto you what he has written concerning your life. And insist that which God has written is what will become established in your own case. You will see that the cycle will stop when it comes to you. And a new cycle will begin. It's a place where men are empowered. That is where you are empowered. That's where we are empowered. You can't leave things to chance, oh. You can't leave things to chance. You can't leave things to chance. That it will happen. Let's see how it goes. Destiny can only be denied. It cannot be denied. It's not in the Bible. Destiny can be delayed. Destiny can be redesigned. Destiny can be aborted. Is that? Look at Jabez now. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verses 9 and 10. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. You see the beginning of that story? That's actually the present condition of Jabez as at the time they were documenting it. He had become more honorable than his brethren. But that was not his case originally. Jabez went to God and he says, oh, that you will bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that I will not cause pain, that you will keep me from all evil. The Bible says, and the Lord granted Jabez that which he requested. Excuse me. It means that when Jabez was going through what he was going through, God too was watching him. God knew he was not supposed to go through it. God did not say anything. Jabez did not know. He had not taken it up in the place of prayer, so God too was watching. He was also watching. The name Jabez means he will cause sorrow. He will cause pain. You don't get what that means. It doesn't mean that he's a cantankerous person, no. It means that even in his goodness, he wants to do good. He won't know how that goodness will cause them pain. They have spoken to the end of his matter that he does not have control over. But when he went to God, the Bible says God granted him what he requested. In other words, God changed the story. But do you know something? He did not change that name. You know, some people believe that their name is what is the reason for their limitation, and then they change the name. If God leads you to change your name, change your name. But don't think it is just by. So he was still bearing Jabez, which means he will cause sorrow. But now, God had blessed him. God had enlarged his territory. God has kept him from all evil. He's no longer causing pain. But the name says he will cause pain. So which means that the essence of the name has been neutralized. You will see a similar thing almost happening to Benjamin in Genesis 35. When he was to be born, the Bible says the mother was also about to die when he was to be born. And the mother said, ah, he shall be called Ben-Oni. Ben-Oni also means son of sorrow. As she said it immediately, the father said, no, this one will be called Benjamin. Benjamin means a son of the right hand, or a son of righteousness, or a son of good fortune. Life is spiritual. Suddenly those who like you, they want you around. Suddenly they just, even they don't know why, they just want to give you space. It's not normal. There's something that comes upon a man, that makes the hair you carry, the hair around you, attractive. That makes it appealing to people. It's not the makeup. Thank God for the makeup. You can make up and still not be made up. It has its place. I was at a meeting one time, a minister's meeting. And a man was there who is a business consultant and was saying some things. And he was saying, talking about when he was consulting for a bank. They were doing a strategy session. And they had something to crack and it was difficult. They couldn't finish it till they closed that day. So he said he went back home. I mean, he's Christian, he's in this city. He went back to his hotel room. Then when he woke up in the morning, he started praying. As he was praying, the Lord just brought to his mind Paul's missionary journey. And from there, he drew inspiration and he was able to fill in the gaps and come up with a solution to what they couldn't resolve the previous night, previous evening. So he said he dressed up. When he got to the place, he told them the solution. When they were done, everybody was, wow, wow. He said one of the top management people came to meet him after. And he came and he said, so which group is your own? He said, at first he didn't understand what he was saying. He said, I'm saying, what is your own circle? The occult circle. He said, because the solution you came up with is not found in the realm of men. It is those that have touched something that come up with that kind of a thing. The Bible says there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. Before we decor, before we wear the dress and put on the cologne and all of that, make sure you have settled in the secret place first. Oh, make sure you have settled in the secret place. Make sure you have settled down one in the secret place. That is what will give credence to every other thing they have seen on the external. That's the place where we are empowered. That's the place where we are empowered. It says, whoever drinks of this water, John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, he will still be thirsty, telling that to a Samaritan woman. He said, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give, John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give, he says, the water will become in him a fountain of living water, springing up into it. In other words, anytime he's thirsty, there is that fountain that quenches the thirst. Then you now move to a level in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. On that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if anyone thirsts, let him come. Let him come. He says, for anyone that believes me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. So which means that there is a level, a place where the water quenches your own thirst. And it moves you to a level that from your belly, rivers are flowing that will bring healing and quenching of thirst to others. It's in the secret place that we are empowered. Hallelujah. Amen. Bible says in Isaiah 55, 1 and 2, it says, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why do you spend your wages for that which does not satisfy? Go to the secret place. You have expended energy enough. You have talked enough. There are some people that you are talking. They are not hearing. Go to the secret place. From the secret place, open up their ear. Then come back. Say the same thing once. You will see that it will enter. And you will be wondering, I didn't see anything different. The only different thing is that you are prayed before speaking. Hallelujah. So I want to leave us with something tonight, which is what we are getting into. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. Malibahase tu frehenkiriande. Mando soto prehiketeria kadabosa. Magandoto pahavra gadaboso to prekedabosiriate. Halabaraka tabalingre de dosu supokete. Mahando suso preket ekiriaga da bose freket iriaga. There's someone, you have a headache. It's like that band, like round your head like this, the side. Like that banging headache. You know, like one that just God's hand is upon you. Amen. Even in this meeting, you'll be healed. Before we are done, you'll be healed. That headache will, it will vanish. It will. In the name of Jesus. Mahado Suso. Isaiah 40 from verse 28, it says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord, the creator of the hands of the heart, neither faints nor is weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to him who have no might, he increases strength. He says that even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to show us from God's word the need for us to be alone with God, to cultivate the habit of periodically spend an extended time in God's presence. Because many of the things that happen in the secret place requires that you tarry. Before there is a rubbing off, before there is an empowerment, before you find that help, it requires that you tarry. You don't get the best from the secret place when you rush in and rush out. Hallelujah. One day I was ministering in church, and there's someone that usually tells me, Pastor BJ, you are overshooting time. Pastor BJ, you're overshooting time. So the person made me to be conscious of time. So one day I hurriedly just finished up and I got to the office. When I sat down on the chair in the office, I heard God speak to me clearly. He said, I need time. He said, you give me time. I need time. So the next time I was in church, as I was preaching, I felt there was a time to close, to swap up. But I knew God was saying something. Then the word of the Lord came. He said, there's someone here, this and that. Lo and behold, it was a person. What am I saying? I'm not saying that to justify my finishing late. I'm learning. Some of the impartation I got from Seth Man. Amen. I will get the one that will make me keep to time. You don't have that again. I will get that new one before I go. Amen. Lo and behold, it was the one. What am I saying is, Holy Spirit needs time. Before he does, for him to do all he wants to do in your life, he needs time. He needs time. See, that phrase, alone with God, where it's found is in Genesis 32, when Jacob knew that Esau was coming, he was afraid. This was somebody that he had robbed of his birthright. He was scared. So he first divided all his things into batches, his wife, so that at least if Esau catches one, they will see some, will still be safe. In verse 24, after he had sent all of them away, he now went alone. Somebody say alone. I know you are busy, but if you want to, there is a way to live that you will be in the control room of every other thing that is happening. And from the control room, you can coordinate the things. Your mind will be at rest. Many of the things that concern our life, you cannot be running after this one, run after this one, run after this one, run after this one. The Bible says concerning God that he is before all things, Colossians 1:16, and in him all things consist. So it is possible to occupy a position where from there you are able to coordinate everything. That's why you will see some people, they are doing a lot of things, but they don't look stressed. They don't look like they are doing a lot, but you know they are doing a lot. It's because there's a place where the wisdom to coordinate everything comes from. They manage the home. They manage work. They manage their business. They manage the children. They manage their spouses. And they don't have any problem. There is the wisdom that helps in the coordination of all of these things. There's a place where it is found. Some of these things, you can't read them up in the book. God must give them to you. Sometimes because you have spent time in the secret place, then you pick the book. Then your eyes are hoping to see from the book. The Holy Spirit needs time. We need to cultivate this habit of spending. I'm not talking about quiet time. I'm talking about scheduling your life in such a way that periodically you have an extended time alone with God. I know of someone, in fact, apparently it was my sister, some years ago. She needed to make a decision. You know, where she was working, she was a contract staff. Then an opportunity came to move to another branch as a regular staff. A lot of, and of course, that's a way out of the contract bond. So a lot of them were jumping at it and jumping at it. I remember then I was in Jos, I was serving. And she called me. She sent me a message that this is what is going on. Please also pray along. She went on leave so that she can go and pray, so as to know what decision to make. Took leave to pray because of one decision. Because that one decision redefined every other thing in her life. If she missed that decision, she would not be married to her husband today. Because it was from that decision that the husband came. It was from that decision that the business came. It was from that decision that every other thing came. From that decision. Because she didn't go. The others went. After a year, they were all retrenched again. Jacob was left alone with God and he wrestled with that angel. That wrestling was not fighting. Hosea chapter 12 verse 3 tells us what he was doing. He was pleading, begging, praying for favor. And he prevailed. That is where he had power with God. But you see, this thing don't happen when you breathe in and breathe out. It doesn't happen that way. Because there are some things that it requires that you tarry in the presence of the Lord before you are able to crack them. There are some lights that you need that will not come after 30 minutes of prayer. Some will not come after 1 hour of prayer. I'm telling you. Some may not even come after 1.5. Some will require that you stay. You know, sometimes you are wondering, why does God do it like that? God, can't you just tell me directly what the thing is? Why do I have to pray for? You know, sometimes when you are praying, what you are doing is that you are leveling mountains. You are exalting valleys. You know, it's like when they want to do construction, sometimes they are filling some places up, sometimes they are pulling some things down so that they can create that highway. Sometimes in the place of prayer, that is what you are doing. In union with the Spirit of God. So it requires time. I know of a young man. He said he felt that the situation that they had in the family, the Spirit of God ministered to him that he should spend 9 hours in prayer concerning it, and that would be the end. So the guy did 1.5 hours today, 2 hours tomorrow. He was doing cumulative. He was trying to hide it up. He said, but when he was done, God told him, you know that's not what I told you. Because some things require a continuous generation of energy. Continuously to push away the opposition. Then the guy went back. Then he did the 9 hours at a blow. As he was done, the mountains came down. That's the wisdom of God. One day, we have School of the Word and the Spirit at the end of last Sundays of every month in the evening. We were to have it on a Sunday. I was in my heart preparing for it. Then suddenly, I just saw a flash. I saw 4. Then in my heart, I asked, God says, spend 4 hours praying towards that meeting next Sunday. So I looked at my schedule. I created the time. Then I spent the 4 hours. When I had prayed for 3.5 hours, then I heard, the borders of the School of the Word and the Spirit has been enlarged. Why didn't God tell me from the beginning of the prayer? Why did he have to wait till 3.5 hours? It's because at that 3.5 hour, that's when the border was enlarged. Amen. We must periodically spend time. See, in Exodus chapter 24, that was when God told Moses to come and collect the tablets of the covenant of stone. That, you know, he collected it twice. The first one that was broken. I want you to see something in verse 12. Exodus chapter 24. Look at
Look at verse 12. See what the Lord told him. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there. And what? And no, let's read it again. Come up to me on the mountain and be there. Let's read on. And I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandment which I will write. Which I have written. Which means that what Moses actually went to collect, God had already written it. So, is it that the mountain was so far that it took Moses 20 days to walk there and 20 days to walk back? What was he doing for the 40 days? God wanted him to come and be there. It's fellowship. It's fellowship. Come and just fellowship with him. See, I've realized this as a preacher. It doesn't take hours to get a message to preach. But it takes hours of fellowship to come to a place where getting messages to preach becomes easy. So God told Moses, come and be there. So for the 40 days, he was just there. Even what God wanted to give him, God had already written it. So the 40 days was a 40 days of fellowship. That's tarrying in his presence. Just try it. Don't. Just shut down one Saturday and just spend it in his presence and come out. You will see the difference. Something will first happen to you, then it will start happening through you. It will first happen to you before it starts happening through you. Just tarry. One of the things that happens in the place of tarrying, spending time. The Bible says concerning Jesus in Luke chapter 5, after miracles had been done, verse 15 and 16, after he had dispatched everybody, he says in verse 16, he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Often. You must often have times that you just wait on God in prayers. Where you are not in a hurry. So it is not quiet time. That's where the idea of camp, when you say camp meeting, camp, is a place where you come out and nobody is in a hurry to go anywhere. Because they even usually have it in an excluded, in an isolated place. Where no one is in a hurry, where nobody is disturbing anybody, they are away from the hustles and buzzes of town. And they are just there. And it is until God is done. Not until you are done, until God is done. One of the things that happen when you tarry like this is that you will experience fullness of the Spirit. You may be filled with the Spirit, and you can be full of the Spirit. They are not the same. Being filled with the Spirit of God is that baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Being full of the Spirit of God is that place where the Spirit of God is dominating. Your soul and your body. Because out of that fullness, you are now able to respond to the promptings of the Spirit of God. You can be filled and not be full. The Bible says the disciples were filled with the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. In Acts chapter 4, after they had been threatened, that they went back to their own companions and they prayed. They prayed Psalm 2. After they finished praying, the Bible says they were filled with the Spirit again. It was a refill of the initial infilling. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled.
be in a continuous state of fullness of the Spirit. You can be in a state where you are full. You know, there are times that you know that you are more spiritually sensitive than another. And if you check it very well, it's a law of cause and effect. You can check it. You can trace it to why you were this sensitive at this time, and this other time you needed to rely on somebody else to help you navigate a path. You can be in a state where you are always full. Anyone who has come to an understanding of the power that lies in being in the secret place, they often withdraw into the place where they pray. Often is their practice. Is their practice. That's how they achieve this fullness. What happens when you are full of the Spirit? Let me just mention two, three things very quickly. Number one, you will experience eyes that see, ears that hear, and a heart that perceives. Eyes that see. You don't need to be a prophet or be in the prophetic ministry. As a believer, as a consequence of fullness of the Spirit, your eyes can see. Your ears can hear. What I'm saying in essence is that the sensitivity of your spirit will be greatly heightened in that period. And when you do it periodically, that are not too far from another, it will seem as though they are overlapping. You are the one that will know that, I'm not as in quote, full as I'm supposed to be, but those on the outside will not be able to tell. Because before one is has completely waned, you have overlapped with another. Hallelujah. Eyes that see will save you a lot. Because even people are not usually who they really are. But with a heart that perceives, you will know. You will know those who are for you. You will know. And in this world, the Bible says not all men have faith. Paul prayed, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2, pray that God will deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men. So there are people that are unreasonable and they are wicked. And Paul said, we'll pray that God will deliver us from them. Amen. It takes a heart that perceives to discern that this is an unreasonable and a wicked person. Eyes that see, ears that hear, heart that perceives. These are consequences of fullness of the Spirit. And this will bless you tremendously, because it will help you in virtually everything in life. Jesus said, blessed are your eyes for they see, Matthew 13:16, and your ears for they hear, Mark 4:11. Unto you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto those that are outside it will come in parables. It means that you will have that divine intelligence that is not available to every other person because of this fullness. So when I said we were praying and I saw the door opened, it is because of the fullness of the Spirit. You can pray like that and come up with solution for your family. Come up with solution for your organization. Come up with solution for your business. Eyes that see, ears that hear. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 9. It says, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. It has not entered into the heart of any man what God has prepared for those that love him. So, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So those things can be known by his Spirit. It says, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. No man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man. So also no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And we have received not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit that is of God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And these things also we speak. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So by the Spirit of God, you will come to a place where you know what ordinarily you would not have known. Things are just opened up to you in the place of, in that fullness. Periodically, set time apart and spend an extended time. Even things that have terrified you, things that have scared you, even things you are afraid to pray. You know, there's something that you are afraid to pray about. That you're even afraid to mention it. You don't even want to talk about it. You find a way of shutting them out in your mind. Make up your mind. Stir yourself up and decide that over this thing, I'm just going to spend time in God's prayers praying about it. Just praying about it. Eyes will see. You will know what to do. The assurance will come. You should cultivate the habit, the heart of waiting on God. It is in that place of waiting that our weakness is exchanged for His own strength. It is in that place that we mount up with wings like eagles. He says even the youth faints. The glory of youth is their strength. But He says even the youth, they faint. It is in that place that you are able to run and you are not weary. And then you are able to walk and you don't faint. Which means that where others stop, when everybody is tired, that's when you are still just warming up. It means that you now run with a super natural energy. The habit of waiting. Not in a hurry, waiting. If God has not spoken, don't assume. Sometimes you start praying like this, but you have to go to work. Go to work, come back, continue. Don't assume that it has been done. Sometimes there are some things you pray about, it takes you hours, you find answer. Some takes you days. Some take you days. Some may take you weeks. Amen. Some take you weeks. Keep praying. Keep praying until the thing clears. Keep praying until you have an assurance. Keep praying until God makes it known to you that you have heard. Don't assume He has heard. There are some things that it is a continuous generation of energy that is required. It's not because God is deaf of hearing. It is because you are making power available to level mountains. Hallelujah. Paul said, a great and effective door has opened unto me. But there are many adversaries. Periodically, spend an extended time. Extended, periodically. Where you go beyond your usual time. Studying, praying, ministering to God, worshiping. Something will happen to you in that place. You will come out refreshed. You will come out stirred up. You will come out assured. You will come out assured. Hallelujah. Can we just rise to our feet? Just spend a minute or two just pray in other tongues. Melekit eprahasis ufrikete. Magadobo susufrehet iriagadaboso tomo brahazet iriande. Makabala bataya bale bragada blogodobo sataria kadaba. Ekete paliba brahaze susufrehete te bregedebo susubrehete. Hamala bataya bragada bale bagranda gadaboso tobo krihingerebo sahate. Randa gadabala le brahaze suprehete. Hey, zete ne mana shata ria gadabo so so bricket egeria gadabo so so bricket ria. Maleba bragadaba le bragadaba le lebrogodobo so so bricket ria gadaba. Zata yakaba. Some of those things, just one night of being in God's presence will settle them. Just stir yourself up and just spend that night praying. An hour, two, three. To settle it, things will change. The light we need. Prayer is never a wrong solution to a problem. Never. It is either the solution is prayer, or through prayer you will know the right thing to do.
So whichever way, prayer is always right. It is either prayer is the answer to it, or in the place of prayer, God will tell you what to do. Go spend the time praying. Zita maga haza atepoka haza hita. Emala prahata prohose frekete. Zihante mahanga doso so freketeka. Ramanata angadaba lenteke debo suso brekete kariagadaba. Mala bragata balembro dobo bo suso brekete pregete prehege debo suso brekete. Ranzata namana shanda laba yakataba lebro godobo siteke. Hagadaba lebrege de bolobro gotopo susu brekete. Rimalaga dobo robo tubo susu brekete. Eke de bali, I just want you to stir yourself up tonight. Brahaza, 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 kite rianda da bosa. Eke te pekete prokotopo brekete peke de bo susu brekete. Habala bayakata bale babaga da bale baboro botopo kete kete. Igada zata lebrekete periagada brogodo bosusu brekete pekede dodo dosise brekete. Habra rabata bayege debe diga debo borogoto bosusu brekete. Iva kata yeke debo kata. Don't say there is no way out. Get into the place of prayer. You will know the way out. Get into the place of prayer. You will know the way out. Get into the place of prayer. You will rewrite. You will change the narrative. You will rewrite the story. You will change the narrative. Get into the place of prayer. Maragata balebre kete prekete pokrodobo soso preketeria. Ramanasa taya kata palebre kete. Ese tekete preketeria gadabosa. Ragasa taya kata palebre kete prekete preketeria sa. Rata balagrende gedebo suto prekete kediga dabasoso prekete. Ragasa tata kata pasekete kete 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 kete. I heard in my spirit, I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I change not. He is the Lord, He changes not. What He has done before, He can do again. He will show Himself strong on your behalf. He will show Himself strong on your behalf as you respond to these words. As you take heed to the instructions He's giving you, He will show Himself strong. He is the Lord. He does not change. He is the Lord. He does not change. He does not change. Does not change. Thank you, Father, for stirring up hearts tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. There'll be time to minister tomorrow, but you need to be stirred up. Some of us still need to, when you get back home, still spend some time praying. You need to come to that place. Get to that frequency where your spirit is tuned to that of God's Spirit. Lord, we praise you. We give you glory.